Al-Anon speaker, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I asked this woman to be my sponsor a few years ago, and I decided that Al-Anon wasn't for me, and after enough pain, I went back to Al-Anon, and I asked her, and I was really afraid to ask her again to be my sponsor, and she, without hesitation, said yes. And whenever I tell anybody, like, she's my sponsor, and Marty's my sponsor, and they're like, oh, you got the black belt. She's good. And I'm just really excited and really happy to introduce my sponsor, Marty, as our Al-Anon speaker. All right. So Diane told me to bring this with me, and I needed this. Let's see, where do I begin? I have to tell you, I look around this room and I'm humbled by the number of years that I know are in this room. Just right there, all by itself, gets me. And anyway, let's see, how it began? Was that the way it said? Where it began? I had probably an idyllic childhood, although I would wake up in the morning doing one of two things. I would be biting into a juicy steak that was never there, or I would be crying because nobody loved me. I decided at a very young age that my mom didn't love me, and so I spent all my time with mommy until I left home, trying to get that woman to love me. That was my goal. And I never, you know, I hear this said in AA that you never felt a part of anything. I didn't either. So that must be the disease of alcoholism. Anyway, when I was about 7 years old, too young to go to camp, but went because my mom took me. And it was a church camp, and they had this thing at the end where they called you up to the altar and, you know, you gave your life to Christ and all that. Well, I went up there, and somebody, something loved me, and I knew it. And I decided right then and there that I was going to be a good girl, and everybody would love me. I went home, and it didn't take me long before I was in trouble. And I thought, I can't do this. I'm sorry. I can't be good enough for whatever it was that loved me. So I went about my life trying to make mom love me and having a good time in the meantime. I had, you know, I grew up at a time where we didn't have a lot of fear around parenting. You know, I could go anywhere. And it was pretty awesome. I lived next to the Delaware River, and we had a lot of adventures. But around age 13, I went to church. We did that. And these missionaries came. They were young, cute. And they said that they were from Africa. And they had come from Africa. And I'm like, not me, man. I'm not going to Africa. There's lions, snakes. Okay, God, I'm putting you back here. I got this. Thank you very much. I don't need you. So then I started doing life. Went to college, and I had moved into an apartment. I'd been there for a while. I was a junior. And I saw this guy live down in the courtyard down there. And we were having a party. My roommate wanted to have a party. So I said to my roommates, that guy down there, I'm going to meet him. Well, I did. He asked me to dance. He found out I was a year and a half older than him. And he quickly scurried away and found somebody smaller and younger. And as the night progressed, she scurried away and found somebody else, or whatever. And so he kind of hooked up with me. And you know, that very first night, he got drunker than a skunk, and he was so obnoxious. And I thought, oh, God, get this guy away from me. So that was that. And the next morning, he was cleaned up, looked good, came and asked me for a date, and I said, yeah. So, you know, he didn't show real signs of alcoholism for years. I did. My disease kicked in immediately. And, you know, I thought I had all the answers, and I could tell him how to do life, and he needed my help. And so we went about having kids. We had four kids, and two of my kids are in the program. One was in the program. He does church now. He's still sober. And then I've got this other one that's living with me that's sort of, like, she doesn't drink in front of me, but she's drinking. And, you know, it's none of my business, so I'm not going to say any more about that. We moved to Omaha. By now we had three kids. The kids were starting to get into trouble, and I couldn't make them behave. You know, like I'd get one in place and the other one would pop up. And then I'd get that one down and the other one would pop up. And then we got this little girl in there, and this little girl was awesome. She never popped up. She was good. She just did everything the way she was supposed to. She also is in the program. she did it later. So my husband at the time had a high visibility job, and he was afraid, and he started drinking a lot. Every weekend would black out. I didn't know he was blacked out, but he would talk to me so mean and nasty, and I'd be like, oh, how can he say that to me? And then the next morning I'd tell him what he said, and he'd say, I said that? Like, I don't get that. That didn't make sense to me. But he was doing that. And at the time, my sister and her husband had gone into the program. My sister has 32 years now. And she had sent me this book. And you know, the weird thing was, we didn't have alcoholism in our house, even though Steve was blacking out every weekend. But these stories in here, I could relate to them, and I'm like, isn't that strange? This relates to me. And then we'll talk about Al-Anon meetings, and I'm like, oh well, that I'm not going to read that one because that one doesn't matter. But anyway, so my life really got, I was desperate, and my neighbors had a party, and I went over to the party and walked in. They had Christian music playing. Their house was so serene. My house was not. And I thought, oh, these people have something I want. Oh, okay, God, maybe I can bring you up here. So I started doing the best I could with church. I did church. I really got into church. I became a Catholic. Even my husband was a Catholic. And I felt like I had wandered into a forest full of information that that I would never learn all of it. And I was determined to learn it. And, I knew that being that I ran into when I was seven was there and loved me a lot, a whole lot. But I'd leave the church having had this amazing spiritual experience and flicking somebody off in the parking lot. I'm like, I can't get this. Well, he's my ex now. He went to Germany, and I didn't go with him. I was so pissed off by then. And it was all his fault, by the way. He made a lot of extra money in Germany. I wasn't working. He made a lot of extra money in Germany, and we would use it on phone calls fighting. It was ridiculous. Well, he had a bottom in Germany, and it was pretty big. Yes, peace came and got him. And he called me, and he said, okay, would you call Bill? That's my brother-in-law, who was in AA. and ask him if he thinks I might be an alcoholic. Because he blacked out and had a real big bottom. So I called my brother-in-law, and he said, well, he could be. You know, he didn't say he was. He just said, he could be. And I'm like, really? Anyway, so he ended up going into treatment. And he called me from Germany, and he said, they want you to come to treatment for a couple weeks. And I said, I can't see the clock. I hope, will you tell me when it's, oh, there it is, okay. And I don't even know when I started, so. Okay, so he said, they want you to come to treatment. I said, I am not doing another thing for you. And he said, well, they say it's not for me. You'd be doing it for you. Okay, I'll come. So I went to treatment, and I got introduced to Al-Anon. There was one guy and me. That was the Al-Anon meeting, which was pretty funny. And we stayed. It was like, it was like the pink cloud to the nth degree, because we were confined. We were doing all kinds of classes and spiritual things and stuff, and getting help. We were getting therapy and all that stuff, and it felt really good. So I went home and I started Al-Anon. Went to my first meeting, and when I walked in the room, they had a box of tissues on the floor, and I needed them. They were talking, they were saying what was going on with me, which I could not verbalize. I didn't even know what was going on with me. And I just sat there crying through the meeting. I thought, well, this is great. I'm going to sit here and cry all the time. It took me 2.5 years to get up the nerve to find a sponsor and to find the right one. She had to be perfect. And what I found was this little tiny person. I keep hoping I'll run into her someday. Attila the Hun. I was scared to death of her, but she had what I wanted. She had 8 years, and I thought, oh God, if I could only have 8 years, oh, I'd give anything to have 8 years, because she just had so much going for her. So we began our journey, and we used the Big Book. And we started reading the Big Book from the prefaces. I mean, like, I'm like ready for step one, and we're reading the prefaces and the forewords, the whole shebang. So I thought I would never get to step one. Finally got to step one. And I want to tell you, I already had God, thank you very much. I didn't need God. Just give me the Al-Anon information, you know, what not to do. That was another thing about Al-Anon. They never told me what to do. They kept telling me what to quit doing. I'm like, I don't get that. Today I do. You know, today I was doing way too much. You know, you could do nothing or you could do way too much, and I had to find balance. That's what I hope I have found in Al-Anon. Anyway, so I'm about ready to go on a trip with my mom. And I haven't done step four yet. And so I go up to Attila the Hun. That's really not her name. But I said, I think I need to do step four before I go see my mom. She drives me crazy. And she said, who's the sponsor? You or me? And I'm like, well, you are. Okay. I did not do step four before I went to see my mom. Anyway, so I went to see my mom, and I was driving her from New Jersey to Rhode Island and for a family reunion. And then we were coming home, and by the time we were coming home, I was hooking with my mom right and left, and she was driving me up a wall. She was pissing me off. I mean, there was a sign that was, like, enormous that said Philadelphia. And I'm heading home, and my mom goes, Philadelphia's that way! Philadelphia's that way! And I'm like, I see it. You know. Anyway, I called my sponsor and I said, my mom is driving me crazy. Okay, what's she doing? And I started telling her what she was doing. And she said, Marty, I would like to suggest to you that you are your mom. Oh, shit. She's not helping me. She told me I could call her. I might have thrown the phone. I don't know. I did that several times with her. You know, I did. I threw the phone often with her. And what I would do after throwing the phone was I would say, okay, just sit down, listen to what she says. You can quit her as your sponsor as soon as you know that what she said is not right. But dang, every time I sat down and I would take the rod out of my back, that's how I said it, and listen to what she was saying, she was always right. And so I kept going. She fired me one time. She said, call me when you're willing. I'm like, willing? I don't even know what that is. What's that mean? I called my sister. I said, what does she mean? I'm willing. She said, just call her and tell her you're willing. So I did. She took me back. Let's see. So where was I? That was my mom and four. And let's see. I had notes. I wonder where I am. I didn't bring them up here with me. Okay. So, oh, I know. This first set of steps that I did, you know, that I didn't need the God thing with, I had a couple miracles happen. First of all, when I asked this woman to be my sponsor, I was sitting in a meeting, and I hated my mom and dad by now. It was their fault that I was such a mess. So my dad had died, and I would not go home while he was dying. I went home for the funeral, but I would not go home. And I was sitting in a meeting, and somebody was talking about their dad. And I think their dad had died or something. And I started crying and couldn't stop. And my sponsor was there. And she grabbed me and she said, I don't normally do this, but I want you to write a letter to your dad. And I want you to tell him everything. And then I want you to send it. And I'm like, send it? She said, yeah. Where? It doesn't matter. Just put it in the mailbox. So I did. And then at the end of the first set of nine steps, my mom was number one on my grudge list. And by the time I got done with that set of steps, I wanted to make an amends to my mom. Wanted to. I did. And, you know, all my amends, I was fortunate. I've heard of some people that weren't as fortunate as I was. Everybody said, it's okay, you know, you're fine. You didn't bother us, blah, blah, blah. So my ex was in there also. And, you know, it was funny, but all of my amends basically were saying, first of all, I was wrong to have pushed you away, or I'm sorry I was trying to control you. the pink cloud ended, and things, life was becoming life. You know, I went through that first set of 12 steps, and I thought it was going to be like Cinderella. I'm good now. I can leave. I'm done. And life is going to be hunky-dory. There was not going to be another problem. And that didn't happen. In fact, life got bigger. I was now doing life on life's terms. I had not been before. I had been doing life on Marty's fantasy terms or whatever. But now life was... I was doing life, you know. I hadn't done anything. And my ex and I just, you know, we would be like this, just missing each other. We couldn't be here. We were just mad all the time, fighting all the time. So he ended up leaving, which I was devastated, but today I know it was the best thing that happened to me, because after he left, I grew up. How much time do I have? 4 minutes? Jeez! Okay, see, I'm old, you guys. You gotta give me more than 20 minutes. We got a divorce. I had to go to work. I had a degree in teaching. I went back to teaching. I was told I needed to... I had a job in sacred studies, which paid almost nothing. And they said, oh, and by the way, you're going to be doing chapel services, which freaked me out. And anyway, I, you know, teaching for me was one lesson after another on how to show up, how not to be a victim, because I was a great victim. I had 4-year-olds that walked all over me. And not to mention 7th and 8th graders. And by the time I was about to retire, I had finally learned just not to care. You know, if they rolled their eyes, who cares? You know? And the funny thing was, when I quit caring, they started caring and being nicer. So I told you I was divorced about a year ago, I guess it was. My ex came back and asked me to try again. And I said, okay. You know? I tried dating. I found that every time I dated, I would just get insane. I would get wrapped around their axle. I didn't know how to be me. And so I said, okay, God, if you want me to get married again, you're going to have to bring them to my doorstep because I can't do this. And so for the next 20 years, I've been working on my relationship with God. And anyway, he asked me, we tried, and I something came up, and I said, okay, I can't do it. Now we're friends, and he's asking again. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But, you know, for me, the solution I got from this program was my higher power. And so today, I can go almost anywhere. I went to Ohio this fall for a bar mitzvah. There were 8 people in this little tiny house. We were preparing food for hundreds. And my sister and I, every morning, would spend the first part of our morning keeping the 13-year-old away from his computer, but we prayed and meditated together. And I made it through that week unscathed. And everyone else was unscathed also. I was so amazed. And then the last thing I want to say is, you know, I still have bouts of insecurity. Like, I went to a meeting not too long ago. I sat down in a chair. I was isolated. No one sat next to me. And that, I'm not blaming anybody but myself. I know that I'm the problem today. If I find something wrong with you, I know that it's me. I know that. In fact, I'll say that. Okay, what is it about them that makes you not, you know, look at yourself? Anyway, so I went to the meeting. I'm sitting alone. I'm feeling all alone, isolated. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm not alone. God is right here with me. And then I was able to see that I was not alone. And the people in that group were loving me and supporting me and with me, even though they weren't sitting right next to me. Anyway, I'm so glad this is over. I can stop thinking about my life. Thank